I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes and ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. This is most certainly true. So we wonder with the psalmist in today's reading, O Lord, how many are your works? In wisdom, you made them all. How many are your works? O Lord, in wisdom, you made them all. Wisdom. We are here to study, to learn. And in the Lutheran word, memorize and inwardly digest, to learn the wisdom of God. Not knowledge, but wisdom makes all the difference in the world. Paul asked the question, who has known the mind of God? Paul also challenged the wise men of Corinth and the wise men of today. He keeps challenging, where is the wisdom of this world? And we know that Latin phrase, the finite cannot comprehend the infinite. And we have a God who speaks, who acts, who stretches out his hands for the sake of his creation. So he is in action. And that's how we get to know him. The psalmist says his actions are multiple. They surround us. He set the universe so that he would finally set us humans in his created universe so that we would rule the earth. How mighty, how wonderful is God's creation. And the psalm we just read was kind of a concluding statement of a long psalm that began to talk about God's creation, how he deals with his entire work of art, and also how he provides even for those animals and people who may not know him or recognize him, but still he provides because he, the Lord God, made them all. Well, Psalm 104 is hard to read. Psalm 8 is even harder to read, in my opinion, as we begin to explore the wonders of God's mighty acts. And hear this from John's book of Revelation. In the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like a son of man, clothed in robe, reaching to the feet, and girded across his chest with a golden sash. His head and his hair were white like wool. You get that? Like snow. And get this. And his eyes were like a flame of fire. Wool and snow coexisting with fire? Well, we wonder at marvel at the handiwork of God, the creation. Get close to God himself. Fire and snow and wool coexisting. Now done. His feet were like burnished bronze when it had been made to glow in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. His one voice is like the sound of many waters. In his right hand, he held 7 stars. In his right hand, he holds 7 stars one time. And out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in its strength. People marvel at God's handiwork. We lift up our eyes to the hills, but we don't worship hills, because we know that our help comes from the one who made the hills, makes all the difference in the world. People are stuck at the wonder of creation. But God calls us to know through these means the creating one, the one who has put everything in its place and for a purpose. Wisdom, this is coming from wisdom himself. He speaks, so we know. John goes on to say, and when I saw him, the one who holds seven stars in his right hand, the one whose head is like wool and as snow, coexisting with fire, when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. And he placed his right hand upon me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, and I am the living one, and I was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Only those who are called by the Holy Spirit, who do know that they cannot by their own reason or strength come to him, only those get this picture. And we with wonder and awe fall at his feet, knowing nothing else other than worshiping him. Holy, majesty, powerful. Scripture warns us, who has ever seen God and yet lived? Our God is a consuming fire, so never get close to him. Scripture also showed us the way to get to him. Not that we chose to go to him, but that he, on his own, chose to come down to us in his person, to limit himself. The Creator chose to be created by himself so he would live among the created order. And finally, on the cross, he would newly create us to eternally and with holiness and in majesty worship the Creator himself. People are stuck with the wonders of creation. Even Leviathan, even the waters of the sea, the high mountains, the land that provides food to the extent that people call this place Mother Earth. But the one who made them, not only made them, but made us, those who trust in him anew, by his word. Word that was incarnate. The word that stood between the created order and the Creator himself. The word that took upon himself the sin of the world, of whom John the Baptist called the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Well, he died, he rose again victorious, and he reigns at the right hand of God the Father. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He has not forgotten the creation. He has not undone what he had first done on the day of creation, but he keeps sustaining it, and he keeps recreating us so that one day, we and the whole creation shall praise him into eternity, singing him hallelujahs, praising him and glorifying him. The power that created us, the power that recreated us through the waters of baptism, continues to come down to us, beginning with the Pentecost, so that we may reach out to the world that is still his creation with this message of the new creation. He is in control, not powers of nature, not tempests, not snowstorms, not tornadoes, but he is in control, manifesting his power in the Holy Spirit. If the Spirit can move the hearts of people and bring light to those who sit in darkness, bring consolation and comfort to the broken hearts, the same Spirit shall restore all of us into eternity for a life with him forever. For he, the one who died on the cross, also holds the whole world in his hands. This is most certainly true. Amen.